Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Well, this is part two of a message I gave a few weeks ago in relation to Psalm 96, verse 4 to 9. And I'm going to do a very quick recap in case you weren't here that morning. But it says the following: "For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth." And I focused mainly on verses 4 to 6, I did the first time. And we talked about fearing God. What does it mean to fear God? It does not mean that we are to fear him as if we're going to strike us down or be scared of him. Fear in this context means to stand in awe, to stand in wonder of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to fear God with reverence, honour and respect. Secondly, he challenged us with a word that we're not to allow the distractions of our life to stop us from revering him, to stop us from worshipping him. And it was interesting, I think was it Mark who spoke that first word, fits exactly what that one of the words I said that morning. I felt to read this out again this morning. And it says this: "Do not look at what you don't have, but look at what you do have. You have the truth and the power of my word. You have the truth and the power of my Holy Spirit that resides within you. For those who look at what they don't have will never be satisfied. But those who look towards what they do have will always be satisfied." That's an amazing thought. We have the Word of God and we have the Holy Spirit that resides within us. Let's look at not what we don't have, let's look at what we do have. It's incredible words God said there. And thirdly, God reminded us that this was to be a house of prayer where we will seek and we will worship him. So the second part of this series of verses says the following, 7 to 9. "Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth." And in particular, God wanted me to focus on offering. Verse 8. "Bring an offering and come into his courts." But before I share the word I felt God gave me about this, I thought it'd be good to very, very quickly and briefly look at this scripture in context with the Old Covenant. We were a new covenant people, but when Psalms was written, that was under the Old Covenant. The Israelites had a completely different way of how they functioned. And the Israelites had to have many different types of offerings and sacrifices they brought before God. Now, as I said, this is not going to be an exhaustive list. I'm not going to try and unfold it too much today, but I wanted to give you a bit of an idea of what they were expected to do. In its simplest form, there were three different types of offerings or sacrifices they had to give: a sacrificial offering, a consecratory offering, and a communal offering. And with under these those categories, there was different things they had to do. And if you want to go and read up about it, go and read Leviticus. And you'll find out very quickly when you do that, gee, I'm glad we live in the New Testament, under the New Covenant. It was pretty specific, in fact, very specific what they had to do. And they knew exactly, for them to come before God, they had to come and bring an offering. But there's a few key points I wanted to focus in relation to these offerings they had to give. The first point was this: the offering had to be the property of and under the ownership of the offerer. You couldn't give something that wasn't your own. So I couldn't go up to Graham one day and say, "Hey Graham, can I have one of your goats? I'd want to use mine this week. I'd really like to go and use yours." No, you can't give what you don't have. You had to own the offering. That was the first key. The second point was this: the offering had to be without blemish. It had to be perfect. You couldn't give God second best. He wanted the very, very best. And the third point was the most prominent of the offerings or the sacrifice were those of animals. The surrender of the living object was a major factor. The life that was being offered was signified by the extracting of the animal's blood, and this blood made atonement before God. Those three keys are really, really important. So how do we bring this scripture, particularly verse 8, ascribe to the Lord glory due his name, bring an offering and come into his courts? How do we bring that in the context of a new covenant person, which we are? What does it mean by what do we bring as our offering then? And it's interesting to see how God brought us from the old covenant into the new covenant. He told the Israelites what they had to do with their offerings and sacrifices. And he applied the same principle to himself to bring us into the new covenant. Let's compare it very quickly. The offering had to belong to the offerer. What did God use? He used his own son. Secondly, the offering had to be unblemished. Christ was unblemished. He was perfect. He was sinless. There could be no greater offering. An animal sacrifice was the most prominent. Who's more prominent than Jesus, the Son of God? And lastly, the extraction of blood was necessary to bring atonement between God and his people. God shed his blood on the cross for us. So God stuck by the same principles he told the Israelites to himself when it came to bringing us into a new relationship with him. So we are a new covenant people. So what does it mean then to be that offering? And this is the word I believe God gave me this morning to share with all of us. You are the offering I want you to bring. You are the creation of my hand. You are the person I created and knit within your mother's womb. I want you to bring yourself as a sacrificial offering to my throne. Know this, I will receive of you gladly and all of heaven will rejoice. For I have made your offering worthy to be given and received through the death and the resurrection of my son. We are the offering God wants these today. He wants us to give us of ourselves back to him. When we say, Jesus, come into our lives, he wants us to be the offering. Romans 12, verse 1 says the following, and it backs up exactly what that word says. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. God wants us to be that living sacrifice. He wants us to come and say, God, I will give you my life. I will surrender myself to you. And it's interesting, as I reflected on this over the past many weeks and as I prayed about it, one thought came through very, very clearly. It was interesting. On Tuesday night, Andy shared something to the worship team along a very, very, in fact, almost similar lines. To be a living sacrifice, the only way we can be that living sacrifice is to say to God, God, I surrender. God wants us to surrender unconditionally to him. He wants us to say, God, you take my whole life and let it count for you, for your glory. Not just part of it, not just the second best parts of our life. He wants everything of our life. He doesn't want us to hold anything back. It's interesting too because God challenged me personally on this at the start of the year, back early March. And I don't normally do this. But as I was sitting at the desk this morning before I came up to church, I saw a book here which I write, thoughts, reflections, whatever in it. And as I said, I don't normally read anything which God might say to me personally, but I felt God say, take it and share this. Because what God challenged me with, I believe God wants me to challenge you guys with as well. And this is what he said to me. First of all, on March the 7th, I just wrote down, I surrender all. Okay, God, I will surrender all. It's easy to say, but it's not always easy to put into practice. Because I found from that moment forth, as God challenged me on that, I found God started to use things in my life to check and see where my heart really stood. Some things were really easy to say, yep, God, I surrender that to you. But there was a few things I could feel myself hanging on to. I could feel myself pulling in going, no, God, I'm not sure if I can do that. And on the 21st of March, a couple of weeks after, I felt God say this to me. Surrender to me, surrender everything to me. Come before my throne freely and unabandoned and surrender to me. Lay your life before me and give me everything. Give me your home, your car, your family, your work, your aspirations, your hopes, your dreams. Surrender them all to me. Do this daily and do it deliberately. Now I can't see what I'm about to read. Trust me, Michael. Trust me in this. Trust me in your uncomfortableness, inverted commas. Trust me in your insecurity of the unknown. Trust me that what I am doing is me and I'm actually doing it. Now, as I said, I don't normally share personal words like that, but I felt I should this morning because God's challenging this in my own life as well. And I believe that God's challenging us as a church with this too. It's easy to say, yes, God, I surrender. But it's really hard sometimes to put it into practice. Even Jesus himself said, if this cup could pass from me, let it pass, God, when he went to sacrifice himself on the cross. But he said, God, not my will, but your will be done. It's interesting. We live in such a self-absorbed world. This is contrary to what the world is telling us. This is contrary to what our kids are being told. They're being told and we're being told it's all about us. It's all about me, me, me. I've been teaching for a few years now. I won't say how many, but a few. And I've certainly seen a change in our young people these days with the way they're becoming more and more self-absorbed. And dare I say, adults are becoming like that too. And that's not a put down, it's just what I'm seeing. And I can include myself in that at times. I don't want to just blame it, but social media is one of the ways which is particularly causing kids to become very self-absorbed. So this is not what the world is teaching us. The world's saying, it's all about you, where God's saying, no, I want you to sacrifice yourself back to me. I want you to surrender to me totally. And over the years, I've heard different people say, yeah, well, God just wants to control you. He just wants you to become a puppet for him. He wants to pull all the strings. He wants to control you. He wants to keep you captive. He's not talking about freedom. And my answer has been this, and I've learnt this over time. Well, captivity in Christ actually equals freedom in life. The more I've found myself going, God, I release this part of my life, the freer I've become. And I shared with you the journey God led me on for those 8 years back earlier this year. And God took a very broken and wounded man and healed and restored him. But as I started to release those things in my life I was hanging on to really tightly, I actually became free. And when God challenged me earlier this year about surrendering myself totally to him, I started to realise, God, I'm becoming even freer again. So captivity in God won't bind you up, it actually makes you free. Like Graham was sharing before, it takes the cares of your heart away. He's there to lead us and guide us and protect us, but we have to surrender everything to him. If we're going to hang on to those things, we're taking control of our life. We're putting ourselves on the throne saying, no, I will do it my way. But the moment we surrender to God, we're taking our eyes off us and putting them back on our Heavenly Father. And it's really cool. We can do this knowing that we are holy and pleasing to God. Why? Because of Jesus. Psalm 24, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has a clean hands and pure heart. That's us. We can do that through nothing because of what Jesus did. Nothing of our own. And then when we do this, that is our true and our proper worship. That's the worship God is looking for. Yes, he loves it when we come and worship him as a congregation, as we worship him on our own at home. But the greatest worship we can give our Father is ourselves. That's our true and our proper worship. If there's nothing else you remember this morning with what I've said, this is what I want you to go away with. God is calling us to be that sacrifice, to surrender our lives to him. But it's interesting to think about this in relation to the Israelites with their offerings. It's interesting to compare that with Jesus going on the cross and how God used him as a sacrifice. The offering had to belong to the offerer, as I said. We have our own will. We ourselves, it's our choice to give of ourselves. It's our will to decide, will we or will we not? Second, the offering has to be unblemished. We are unblemished because of Jesus. Our offering God will receive and receive gladly. And the third point was an animal sacrifice was the most prominent. Giving of ourselves is the most prominent thing we can do before God. Romans 12 verse 2 says the following, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. We must not allow ourselves to let the world change our thinking. Our thinking has to be based on the Word of God and his principles. And as we know, the world is challenging that right now. We must not let them dictate to us how we are meant to live based on their morals or their principles. We base it on the Word of God. We base it on what God is calling us to live by. So how are we transformed by the renewing of our mind? Through the reading of his Word. And since I've joined this church, or my family joined this church about 5 years ago, you hear that so often, and it's so important. We don't forget it. It's his Word and his Word alone. It's God's Word and God's Word alone. There is no higher word that we can call upon or lean upon. It's God's Word, and through that and the Holy Spirit, our minds will be renewed. And we do need to do it daily. And then it finishes by saying, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing and perfect will. God does have a perfect will for us. And as our mind is renewed, and as we're transformed by that renewing of our mind, we will get to know, we'll know what God's will is for us as an individual and for us as a church. God's will, nothing more, nothing less and nothing else. In Matthew 16, 24 to 25, it says this. If anyone will come after me, Jesus said this to his disciples, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. I always find that a pretty challenging scripture when I was growing up, still do. But God wants us to carry our cross. He does have a plan, a purpose for us. But if we want to save our life, we'll find our life in him, not through trying to do it ourselves. If we lose our life for him, we will actually find it. One thing which I find really tragic, I'm sure many of you would agree as well, working with teenagers, I'm seeing this more and more. And even my own daughter has seen this. People are struggling to know who they are, who their identity is. Who am I really in this big world here? And once again, the world is starting to change the goalposts. It's starting to say, well, you could be this, you could be that. And it's getting them so off beam at times, they don't know where they're going. But if we lose our life in Christ, we will find it. Jesus is our identity, and he will help us to find who we are in him. The more I've surrendered, like I said before, the more I've let God take control of my life, the more I've started to realize who I am, how I function, how I tick. Our young people desperately need to hear that. Desperately need to hear it. So why has God asked me to share this morning? Because there's a second part of that word I shared before about being the living sacrifice. And this is the second part of the word. It's not very long, but I'll read it out to you. The time of hope for the move of my Holy Spirit is over, for the wineskin is now prepared. If you think back last year, I shared a word prophetically about, I believe us as a church, we're approaching a new season where we'd see a new manifestation of his Holy Spirit. A new experience of the Holy Spirit, but God was preparing the wineskin. It wasn't quite ready yet. I believe to say prophetically this morning that God's saying now, the time of hope for the move of the Holy Spirit is over, for the wineskin is now prepared. Why is it over? Because now it's the time of expectation for the move of my Holy Spirit. To see my glory come in all its fullness. And I felt to particularly emphasize this part. Make time to allow my glory and my Holy Spirit to minister through worship and through prayer. I'll say that last part again. Make time to allow my glory and my Holy Spirit to minister through worship and through prayer. I believe we are entering a season now where we will see the power of the Holy Spirit moved in all his glory. It's now the time of expectation. To me, I'm excited and I hope that you are as well. And it's going to happen through us. I remember saying this to all of us last year. It's not going to just be through Graham or through other leaders within this church. This is us as a collective body. It's going to happen to our young people, our young people, our older generation people, all generations. This is what God wants to do. And he's inviting you to be a part of that. But he's given us a challenge. Will we surrender our lives to him unconditionally? Will we say, yes, God, here I am. Yes, God, here we are as your church. It was interesting, a few weeks ago, I think it was about a month and a half ago now, Graham, during the service, Graham had, I'm assuming, had a message to share, but he didn't get to share it. I think it was about a month and a half ago. Ended up being an extended period of time of worship. And then God used, we used that time for ministering and God to minister to other people. And I had this message quite a few weeks before that service. And as I stood there watching the service unfold, and then Graham said, I don't feel that we're meant to speak a sermon this morning. We need to just spend time in worship before God. I couldn't help but reflect on what it said there. Make time to allow my glory and my Holy Spirit to minister through worship and through prayer. And I said, God, it's already starting to happen. I think it's amazing. I feel to encourage, particularly the worship team, that is just the beginning. And us as a church, that is just the beginning. Expect to see more of this in the future, where we will not be able to move into the sermon because the power of the Holy Spirit will be so evident in worship. We just need to stand and bask in that, to rest in his glory through worship. And I believe that in the midst of that, we will see the miraculous happen. We will see the oppressed get set free. We will see salvation break out. Why? Because it's not us, it's the power of the living God. It's the Holy Spirit at work through us, his church. Even last Saturday night, I was down to speak with the young adults and I'd prepared a message. It was about resting in God. But as the week leading up to the camp came, there was something just not quite sitting with me. I didn't know what was going on. I said, God, I know you want us to rest in you and talk about that, but what is it meant to look like? And then on Saturday night, as Andy and the team were leading us in worship, I felt God say to me, go and stand at the back of the room. So I did. And as I stood there, he started to show me different things for different people. He said, Mike, I just want you guys to spend time worshiping me. I just want you to spend time in my presence and allow my Holy Spirit to minister. So we did. I shared a little bit later on, but we just spent time ministering one to another and letting God come and do what he wanted to go and do. Far better than listening to me speak for a night, I'm sure. I mean that quite seriously. I just want to share one little thing as an encouragement to the music team and to all of us, though, because God will take anything and use it for his glory when we allow him to. I've never forgot this experience. It was quite an amazing and very powerful experience for me personally. And I've never seen it since. I pray that me and many other people get to see it again. I got the opportunity to go and be involved in the band at a church down in Heathmont. They'd been experiencing quite a move of the Holy Spirit and they'd really opened themselves up to seeing the gifts and all those type of things operating. In fact, Ken Symes, you'd know Ken Symes, I think he used to minister here. He was one of the people speaking. And Alan Meyer was the other person. And some of the musos at the church knew me. They said, oh, could you come down and play for us? And I said, yeah, okay. That was fine. Interesting, that particular time I was studying at university, my actual playing as a trumpet player was really struggling. I won't go into all the reasons why, but physically it was just really hard to play. I said, I won't go into the reasons why. But I said, okay, look, I'll come down and play. On the second night, it was a two nights, I think it was a Tuesday and a Wednesday night. On the second night, Alan was leading the service and he said, I'd like to open up the pulpit. If anyone has a word or anything to share, come and share it. Now, those days, the prophetic to me was very, very new. I didn't really minister in it as such. But as I sat there just watching, expecting not to participate in anything, I just felt the Holy Spirit get up and say to me, get up, go and play. I'm going, what? You want me to go up and play my trumpet? He said, yeah, go and play. And I sat there, and I'll be honest, I argued for 5 minutes. And the more I argued, the more intense it became within me. It was almost like I could feel myself being lifted out of the chair. And I said, God, you know I'm struggling with my playing at the moment. I can't do it. He says, yes, you can. So I got up. I walked out the front there. I'm sure my shirt was doing this with my chest pounding so hard. And I got up and I said, I have nothing to say, which is unusual for me. I have nothing to say, but I feel God wants you to play. And so I did. And all I remember is I closed my eyes, picked up my trumpet. I had no idea what I was going to play, but I thought, okay, I'll just blow it. I blew it and the trumpet literally just took off. I have no idea if I played for 30 seconds or if I played for 2 minutes. All I know is it took off and I just sort of went along for the ride. What I do remember is what I was playing, I physically knew I couldn't play at that particular time. And when I finished it and I opened my eyes, I looked around and I didn't realize this, but while I was playing, people got out of the chairs and came down to the altar. Some people were down there crying on their hands and knees, worshiping God. One person was even manifesting over in the corner there. And I realized it wasn't my ability which would impact people, it's God through me. And I literally had to hold onto the balustrade, it was near the back of the pulpit there, and walk back because I was so full of the Holy Spirit, it was almost overwhelming. I remember I sat down and said, God, that's why I want to play trumpet. I was at university studying music, and musicians, with all due respect to musos, particularly in the professional world, were very self-absorbed. But I realized, no, God, I don't want to be like that. This is all about you. And I'm sharing that this morning because I believe we're going to see examples like that here in this church as well, where musicians will be anointed. And as they start to minister under the anointing, people will be healed. People will be set free. Why? Because it's the power of the Holy Spirit once again through us. And that's my encouragement to you as us as a church this day. Let us surrender to God and say, God, use us. Take us and help us to bring the word of God to this nation. Let us be the voice of the Father to this nation. Because this nation, even though they don't realize it, need to hear the voice of their Father once again. And I believe they're actually crying out for it. They just don't realize it. We are the voice of the Father. We are his hands and feet. And what an amazing privilege we have to be that. Musicians, could you come up and join me, please? Zechariah 4 verse 6 says the following. This is something personally, I suppose it's almost like a personal motto for me. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. This is going to happen not by our own ability, not by our own skills and talents, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what's going to do it for this nation. That's what's going to do it for our community. And I'll finish with this final picture. After I wrote down that prophetic word I shared a minute ago, all of a sudden I saw this picture and I was standing up behind the church and I was in an elevated position so I could see over the top of the roof towards the front gate so I could see all the property in front of me. And as I stood and watched, I saw a single line of people walking in from the front gate. They didn't say anything, they walked in a single line and all I could see was they were completely black. You could see male or female, but they were completely black. They walked quietly and silently. And as they walked from the front gate, they walked in and walked up the stairs into the church. The line didn't stop, though. The line kept on going. I couldn't see the end of the line. And as they walked into the church, I said, God, what's happening there? I want to go and see it. But he wouldn't let me. But as I saw that picture, he said to me, though, what do you notice? And as I looked at the picture, the one thing that stood out to me was this. Not one person left. As they walked into the church, they stayed. And I said to God, God, they're not leaving, they're staying. And I can still see this picture so vividly, or the image, it was God's face. And as I said that, I saw this massive smile on the heart of the Father from ear to ear, and he said the word, exactly. And I believe that's what God wants to encourage us with today, that we will see people walk in and they will encounter the Father. We've encountered him, but there's so many more who need to encounter him. And what Pete shared before was beautiful. Here was someone coming who didn't even go to church, but they're coming to camp. That's going to happen through so many different ways of means. And what an exciting prospect we have as a church that that's what it's going to be. But I'll finish with this. It's all about surrendering. We need to surrender ourselves. You need to surrender your life to God totally. And I know that as we do, you will see the power of God move in your life. Don't try and hang on to the things in your life which you know you're hanging on to. Give him everything. And he will respond because that's what his word says. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you that Jesus, you died on the cross for us. That through that, we have been reconciled back to you, our Heavenly Father. And through that cross, we have freedom, Father. We have freedom in our life, not just for eternity, but right now, right here. We have freedom through you, Jesus. And I pray that every person here has heard your message this morning, God, that we would respond and say, yes, God, we will surrender to you this day. And not just this day, but each day after this, we'll surrender every part of our lives. And I pray that, God, if there's something in our life which we know we're not surrendering back to you, God, I pray that you'd come and challenge us on that and that we would respond and say, yes, God, here it is. Surrendering isn't easy at times, God, but Father, in you we can do all things. I thank you for this church. I pray that, God, your church would continue to expand into our community, to impact our community, Father. Lord, not through our strength, not through our might, but through the power and through your word. And we thank you that, Father, we can play a part in this. We thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I hope you've heard the heart of what God had to say this morning. I hope, God, I've clearly said it through to us all this morning. It's a word of encouragement. It's a word to challenge and stir us. But we can do it. Why? Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord, which lives and resides within every one of us. What an amazing privilege we have. Thank you.